Well, amen and amen. If you do have a Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. We are continuing our series called How to Be Brave, walking through the book of Daniel together. And so super excited to continue this series. Before we get going, again, want to say welcome to Tylertown. So glad that you're here. Those of you who may be new, my name is Irvin Walsh. Will serve as the campus pastor here. So glad that you chose to worship with us today. I said this the other two services, and I'll say it again here, man. There's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord for worship on a Sunday morning. And so glad you chose to worship with us here today. Daniel chapter 2 is where we are at. Again, just recapping from last week, we were in Daniel 1 and talked about the resolve, right, the resolute faith that Daniel and his three Hebrew friends had. Just backtracking, those of you who weren't with us last week, in Daniel 1, we saw that Israel ended up getting captured by Babylon, right? They're in Babylonian captivity, and King Nebuchadnezzar chose some of the sharpest, young men that were there in Israel to come be a part of the king's court there, the king's temple. And we see them there, and Daniel and his friends resolve to say, you know what, even though, you know, they're trying to indoctrinate us, even though they're, you know, trying to get us to eat the king's food, listen, we're not going to do that because we love Jesus. We know that eating that man is ascribing to the worship of those false gods there. And so we took away, man, the call for us to have resolute faith as well in light of the culture, right, that we're in, even though everybody around us, right, is living, a different way. We want to resolve to say, man, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to live for Him. And so Daniel chapter 2 is where we pick up. We're going to be in verses 17 through 30, but I'll give you background on verses 1 through 16 real quick. We see many scholars say 2 to 3 years have passed, right, where Daniel and his friends are there in Babylon doing their thing. And all of a sudden we see a problem come about. We see the King Nebuchadnezzar, have this dream that he can't interpret, can't figure out what it's about. Woke him up, middle of the night. And so King Nebuchadnezzar reaches out to his wise folks that are there, all the wise guys that were there, all the, you know, magicians and folks, and to try and get an answer. And the guy said in response, look, fella, hey, look, King, hey, there's nobody here that can solve this dream, man. No one here that can figure out, that can interpret this dream. And it says that, man, King Nebuchadnezzar, he got so mad, got so upset about it, that he put a bounty, you know, out for all the wise people that were there. Saying, man, what did I train y'all for? You know, I thought you guys were able to do this. And so, man, he's looking to kill all the wise folks there, including Daniel and his three friends. And then we see in verse 13 that Daniel gets word of this, and he's trying to figure out, wait, you know, what's the hubbub about? What's going on? What's the situation here? He's told what's going on. And Daniel said, you know what? Listen. Hey, make an appointment with the king, you know, so that I can go and tell him how to interpret this dream, essentially. He says, make an appointment with the king and we'll figure this out. Hey, don't tell him not to, you know, look to kill us. Make an appointment with him. And that's where we find ourselves in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 2. So if you got a Bible and if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there this morning. And we're going to read Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 through 30 together. If you don't have a word with you, it's all right. We'll have it on the screen. But here's what the word of the Lord says. Then, after this, it says, then Daniel went to his house after he told Arioch to make an appointment with the king. Said he went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. That word mystery in the original language is raz, speaks to a secret, something hidden. And what's interesting is it's the only time that we see that word used in all the Old Testament. It's a pretty interesting thing. And he told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of that night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things, and he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and now have made known to me what is asked, what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I've seen and its interpretation?" Then Daniel answered the king and said this, "No wise man, enchanter, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked." Hey, but verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what will be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." Won't we pray together? Lord, we love you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. God, I pray over the next few moments that you'd speak to us. Lord, we thank you for being a God who is a revealer of all mysteries. So, Lord, I pray that as we look to see how Daniel responded in light of that reality, Lord, I pray that we would choose to respond in the same way as well, the mysteries in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's interesting. Daniel, right, refers to this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had as a mystery, right? Like I said, Raz, something that's secret, that's hidden, that no one could figure out. And it got me thinking, maybe you're like me, right, in regards to your life, where you've come to find that man's life, in many cases, is like a mystery. Trying to figure out what the next step is for you and your family. Trying to figure out which direction to take. Maybe as you look at your life, you see that, man, there are many mysteries that are there that I'm just trying to figure out. Maybe you've probably heard of the great theologian Forrest Gump. You've ever heard of him before, that great theologian? Maybe you ascribe to what he said one time, you know, in that movie, Forrest Gump, where he says, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. Man, you never know what you're going to get. Maybe that's, you know, what life has become for you, just trying to figure out what the next step is. And you don't know the answer. Well, I've got good news for you. Hey, you may not know the answer. You may not have the wisdom, right, to figure out the next steps, but there is one who does. And his name is Yahweh God, the great revealer of mysteries. The great revealer of mysteries. And we see Daniel refer to this God as that here in the text. And that's what I've entitled the sermon today, the revealer of mysteries. The revealer of mysteries. And may we be like Daniel, right, in his response in light of that reality. We see Daniel here in the text respond to this truth of him believing that God's the great revealer of mysteries. We see him respond in three ways here that we could take to heart and apply to our life today. The first way he responded in light of this truth of God being the great revealer of mysteries is this, man. He sought him. He sought after him. Daniel, he sought after God. He sought God. He sought him. Look back at the text here. After this matter was made known to Daniel, it says that, man, he went back to his house and made the matter known to his three friends, his companions, and told them, hey, to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Man, he went to his friends, but hey, I mean, many scholars believe, man, he sought God himself as well. And we see this call from Daniel. Man, he sought out the Lord. You know, the idea of prayer, right? This thought of prayer, for many of us who've grown up in church for a while, man, it could come, you know, it's thought of to be an elementary principle, if you will, right? Hey, you know, if you've grown up in church at any point in time, you know that it's good to pray. Pray for your food, pray for you go to bed, man, pray when you wake up. You know, there's thoughts pertaining to, you know, what prayer is about. We all know that it's a good thing to do. But sadly, man, a lot of us get caught up in this reality of prayer being more of a last resort in our life than first priority. You're like what Carrie Ten Boom, you know, famous sister of the faith, you know, grew up around, you know, World War II time. You're like what she said in a quote one time. She said this: sadly, many Christians, right, view prayer as more of a spare tire than they do the steering wheel of their life. What we see from Daniel here is that, man, the first thing that he did is what he went and sought God out. Man, he prayed. He went to the Lord in prayer. He saw prayer as a first priority in his life. And for us as children of God, we ought to see it as well. Ought to see prayer like that as well, man. We ought to look to treat it, right, not as a last resort, but rather a first priority. We ought to seek Him. So what does that mean for us in here today? That means this. Listen, if you need answers, right, in your life, for the next step for you and your family, you first choose to seek God. Hey, if you need direction on a future job in your life, hey, the first thing you do, man, is go seek God. If you need help on what to do with your children and the next steps there, right, as parents, man, hey, listen, you seek God. If you need divine counsel on how to minister to that person that's in need in your community, hey, look, you first seek God for wisdom and direction. Choose to go to Him first. Choose to go to Him first. Many folks, sadly, right, we'd rather go to a TED Talk or go to TikTok to find answers before choosing to talk to the Lord. Man, as children of God, man, hey, God ought to be, hey, our first priority. We ought to look to seek Him first. Run to Him. I love what Psalm 34, verses 4 through 6 say in regards towards seeking God out. Says this, the psalmist says this: I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Many of us think that, hey, going to God as a first resort, that we're a burden to Him or bothering Him. Actually, it's quite the opposite. God actually delights when we go to Him first. And here's the deal. Hey, He's near to us. And He wants us to go to Him first. To seek Him out first. And so what we can take away is, man, hey, we got to choose to seek God first. We see some truths here in relation to Daniel and his friends and their praying that we could apply to our lives as well. We see, first and foremost, man, he went to prayer with his friends. He didn't just go alone, man. It said that he went and asked his friends to pray for him. Right, which speaks to the beauty of community, the importance of community, the importance of having people in our life that, man, we can lean on, go to and lean on. And say, hey, listen, I need an answer from the Lord, man. Can you pray for me? Can you pray on behalf of me? Question is, do we have people in our life like that? Do we have people in our life like that? I'll go ahead and throw this in as a shameless plug, right? That's why we have what we call family groups here at Tyler Town, right? They serve as an opportunity for us to be able to fellowship together as believers, right? I mean, family groups have a great time, and connecting with one another. But ultimately, and more importantly, man, it's an opportunity to be able to have brothers and sisters there that, you can lean on. Folks that, you know, can do life with you, but also you can lean on, man, and ask, you know, to pray for you whenever you need an answer from the Lord. Pray for you whenever you need wisdom on a situation. And we see Daniel do that. Man, he knew that he didn't have to do this thing on his own. He knew that he could run to the Lord, man. And there is great excitement that comes with knowing that we have believers, friends that we can run to, who we know that can pray for us. And so, man, he went to pray for his friends. Then also, we see here in his prayer, man, he witnessed God answer the prayer at the end of the day. Aren't you glad, man, that the God of the universe still answers prayers today? Hey, aren't you glad we're not just throwing up wishes to heaven, man, hoping that God may catch one every now and then? Aren't you glad that God hears us and He's able to answer? Yahweh God, the God of the universe. He's able to answer. It reminds me of that passage. You probably remember it. 1 Kings 18, the showdown at Mount Carmel. You all remember that passage? Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal, man, they were the folks that were worshiping that false god, Baal. There were about 450 of them in all. Then you had Elijah, the one prophet, man, who stood for God. Said, hey, man, we're worshiping Yahweh God. Israel at this time was torn between two opinions, is what the scripture says. One day, man, they were about following Yahweh God. The next day, they were about following Baal. So Elijah said, you know what? We're going to have a showdown here between our gods. Here's the deal. We're going to call out to our gods and ask for them to send fire from heaven. And whichever God sends down fire from heaven truly is God. And so the prophets of Baal, man, they set up all 450 of them. And in unison, man, they start praying. They start shouting. Said for hours, man, they were praying. You talk about dedicated folks. They were praying for hours and hours. And then they started doing some goofy stuff, Brother Ben, some crazy stuff, man. They started, you know, dancing, cutting themselves, doing all kinds of just, I mean, crazy stuff. And then in verse 30, look, it says this. But no one answered. No one heard. Nothing was said, essentially. Then you got Elijah, who, which by the way, he was kind of low-key, you know, kind of making fun of the prophets of Baal at that time. If you read the text, he's kind of there. He's like, hey, man, hey, maybe your God's in the restroom, man. Maybe, you know, maybe he's eating a snack. True story. You can look at it. I mean, it's there. Making fun of him. Then he gets up and he just says a few words, man. Calls on God. Said, Yahweh God, man, he sent down fire from heaven to that altar. And the fire was so great, man, it licked up all the water that was dug in the trench there. Licked it all up. And the people of Israel that day knew, man, that Yahweh God was God because he answered. Listen, that same God, man, that we see there in 1 Kings 18 is the same God that we follow and worship today. And he's able to answer prayers whenever we call out to him. And we see that take place with Daniel here. So for us, listen, man, it's choosing to see God. Man, if you need wisdom, you need direction, man, choose to run to him. Choose to seek him first. With all of life's questions, we may not have the wisdom to be able to navigate through how to answer them, how to deal with them, but we know the one who does. So seek him. And that's what Daniel did. He understood that. So we see first response, because Daniel knew God was the revealer of mysteries. Man, he sought the Lord. The second response we see here from Daniel is this, that man, he sang praises to the Lord. Go back to the text here. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. Look what it says. Verse 19 said that God answered, right? The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And then it says, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That word blessed, barik in the original Hebrew, right, speaks to praise. He gave praise and adoration to God. And then goes into detail about how he did that there. Man, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Man, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings, man. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light that dwells with him. Man, Daniel, he received a word. He received an answer from God. And his response was to praise him for his answered prayer. And in the same way, church, whenever the Lord answers prayer in our life, man, that ought to be our first response, is to sing praise and adoration, man, to give God the glory for him hearing and answering our request, man, because of his goodness and his faithfulness. This past week, I had the opportunity to hang out with some friends from college. Had the opportunity to turn back the clock a little bit, Brother Tony, turn back the clock to, you know, 2012, 2013 during my college days. And I was a little, you know, semi-wild back then. You know, I was saved, called to ministry, but my wild was I had a blonde fro for a little while, for a season of life. Maybe that picture will resurface one day. Back when we were in the hotel, I showed it, and folks were still appalled to this day. I was like, man, that's a year and a half ago, man, I sent you that. You know, you still can't get over it. But yeah, my quote-unquote wild day. But got to take it back to the college days and got to hang out with some friends. You know, a family, the couple, they were basically like older brother and sister to me. They were interns at the Baptist ministry that I was a part of in college. And then the other girl, I mean, close friends, you know, went through college together, and she's serving, you know, overseas. now as a missionary, but we got a chance to reflect and talk about all the glory days, you know, and just thinking back to certain points of time. And I remember just kind of in the midst of that thinking, man, I tell you what, man, hey, the Lord was good. He got me through. I remember thinking for a time, I didn't think I was going to make it through, man, but, you know, he got me through. That class, man, I needed Jesus to literally take the wheel there for me to be able to pass it, you know, just thinking through all those different things. But then on a more serious note, you know, as I was able to reflect, got to thinking about, you know, the prayers that I prayed as a 19, 20, 21-year-old, trying to figure out this call to ministry, being able to reflect on that and see 8, 9 years later, wow, man, look how God answered that. Look how he answered that. I'm getting a chance to do, man, what God's called for me to do. I'm getting a chance to, man, be in a place where, man, God is at work. And listen, I couldn't help but to pray, man. And I, like I said, I've had praise music going, worship music going, but it all kind of stemmed back from reflecting on the prayers that were answered there. And even this morning, as I was kind of thinking and preparing for today, just thinking back, man, God has been good in answering and faithful in answering those prayers. And the response was praise. In the same way, friends, hey, listen, like I said, when God answers those prayers in your life, man, you could probably look back now and think of the prayers. Right, needing a miracle in order for something to take place in your life, and God answering that prayer, man, that'll lead you to praise. Being in a desperate situation, a family member in a desperate situation, praying for them and God delivering them, and man, that ought to lead for us to pray. Listen, our answered prayer ought to lead us to choose to praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says this, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Man, let's choose to give praise to God. We see Daniel do that, man. We see that Daniel, he praised God for his greatness. Praise God for his greatness. The first section of that praise to him speaks to his greatness. He understood this fact that, man, hey, there was no one like the Lord God. No one like Yahweh. And so, man, he gave praise to him for his greatness. And in the same way, us as his people, I choose to do the same thing. Because here's what happens. Whenever we choose to praise God for his greatness, what happens is, man, hey, we end up having a correct perspective of who he truly is and also who we truly are. And any of you guys like me, man, I struggle with that Savior complex sometimes. When God answers that prayer, you know, I like to beat my chest and think, oh, actually, yeah, man, look at me, man. Look at me dispel this infinite amount of wisdom to this person, you know, that I know God gave me. I didn't have an answer. When they called and they asked me about it, I was like, man, I have no idea what to say here. It was God who gave it to me. But I like to take glory. Hey, whenever we choose to reflect praise to God for his greatness, gives us a clear perspective of who God is and who we are as well. Not only did he praise God for his greatness, but also he praised God for his generosity. His generosity. Look back here, verse 23. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we have asked of you, and you have made known to us the king's matter. Here's the reality. If we're not careful, we can miss this, right, in regards toward prayer. Man, God didn't have to answer Daniel right at that moment. He did. Psalm 115 says that, man, God's in heaven, and he does what he pleases. But because of his generosity, man, and his faithfulness, man, he chose to step in and answer. And in the same way, man, we ought to praise God whenever he chooses to step in and answer our prayers. Here it is. Brother Ross, here it is, man. Here it is. For us as believers, whenever it comes to our prayer life, may we not choose to mistake having an attitude of expectancy with having an attitude of entitlement. Say it over here. Say it one more time, maybe. One over here. May we as children of God, whenever it comes to our prayer life, may we choose not to mistake having an attitude of expectancy. Obviously, when we pray, man, we expect God to hear us, for him to answer. May not be the way that we want for him to answer, but we expect from him. May we not mistake having an attitude of expectancy with an attitude of entitlement. Think of that, man, we deserve this. Hey, God, I've got all these gold stars, man, in my Christian life. Man, I deserve this, man. I expect for you, man, to answer in this way. I expect for you to give me this. The reality is God doesn't owe us anything. He's generous and is able to give to us. And Daniel understood that here. So that's why he was able to praise him for his generosity. And in the same way, may we choose to do the same. Takeaway, praise the Lord for his answered prayer in your life. Listen, give him thanksgiving. Give him thanksgiving, because listen, whenever we choose to neglect doing that, what happens is God becomes more like a genie in a bottle than he does the omniscient God who knows all. And so choose to praise him when he answers your prayer. We see that Daniel, in response to God being the great revealer of mysteries, we see that he sought the Lord. We see that, man, he sang praises to the Lord. Then thirdly and lastly, we see that he stepped out in faith. Stepped out in faith. Verse 24. After Daniel receives the word from the Lord, man, he praises, has his time of praise. Look what it says in verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Rather, bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. Listen, Daniel received the word, man, he praised God for getting it, and then he acted. He stepped out and he acted. Maybe you're like me, I struggle with this often. I'm just getting real today. I'm telling you all my struggles this morning. Maybe you're like me, and you may be real good at the first two points that we just talked about here. Man, when there's a problem that comes in your life, you have a situation that you need answered, need wisdom on, see God. You go to him first. He gives you the answer, man. You choose to praise him. Man, thank you, God, for giving me that clear word on what I need to do, man, in regards to, you know, how to raise my kids or how to share the gospel with that person. Thank you for that. But then after you give him praise, man, you go back to doing what you were doing before, totally neglecting what he's called for you to do. A lot of us may struggle with that reality. But Daniel didn't. Man, he got the word. And man, it said that he went and he stepped out in faith, man, and went in and shared. Went in and told him, hey, look, this is what the dream's about. This is what the dream's about. And so I'm willing to share it. And in the same way, friends, hey, whenever God gives us that word, gives us that direction, the call for us is to respond by stepping out in faith. Talking about how to be brave, that's what it looks like. Choosing to put feet to your faith and step out in faith. And we see Daniel do that here. He responded to it. We see how he responds here in the text. We see that, man, he gave a bold declaration. Gave a bold declaration to the text here. After King Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? So you're the guy who's able to give this interpretation? And Daniel said in verse 27, actually, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. Basically saying, hey, yeah, I mean, I can answer you, but it's not coming from any kind of man. Those dudes that you've trained for a long time, the magicians, the enchanters, the astrologers, hey, they don't have enough wisdom to be able to answer this, by the way. But I know one who does. Know one who does. And his name is the Lord. That's pretty bold. He's going for the king and saying, you know what? All the gods that you've been worshiping, by the way, listen, they can't give you an answer. These wise dudes that you've trained for years and years, they can't give you an answer. The only one that can, right, is Yahweh God. The God who's over it all. God in the heavens. That's a bold declaration there. And in the same way, hey, friends, we've got to choose to respond that way as well. You may not have the answer to that person about why, you know, the world is evil and why evil stuff takes place in the world. You may not have the exact answer for that, but hey, you know the one who does. And you could share the reality and point folks to him who's able to, first off, fix, you know, the troubled heart, the broken heart of those that are hurting. You may not have the solution to that person, right, that is struggling with their friend having cancer, right? That person that's struggling with not understanding why, right? Their mom or dad died at a certain age, or not understanding why this stuff is happening, why there's divide in the world. But you know the one who does. And you can point folks to him. Point folks to him. That's what Daniel did here, man. He pointed folks to Jesus. He gave a bold declaration and said, you know what? Hey, it's the Lord who's able to do this. It's the Lord. And in the same way for us as people, we ought to choose to do the same thing. Listen, the world's a mess. People around you may be a mess. And you may not know how to clean it up. May not know how to fix it. But there is a God in heaven who's able to meet that person where they are. And in the midst of the mess, be able to walk alongside them, guide them, lead them. Your kids may be a mess. You may not know how to fix it. But you know the one who can meet them where they are. And cheer them. And so, man, point folks to Him. Point folks to Him. See a bold declaration there. Then, by the way, that's the power of the gospel, right? That person that's far from God, power of the gospel. Jesus is the only one that can save. Man, He's the only one that can make right the human heart. And so, man, we point folks to Him. We see that Daniel had a bold declaration. But then, secondly and lastly here, we see that he had a humble attitude as well. Had a humble attitude. Think about this, man. Daniel's been given this vision, right, of what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream is. Nobody else on earth knows it. Nobody else on earth knows it. The most powerful king of the world, the most powerful empire in the world at the point in time, right? Daniel has, right, the answer to this dream that the king has been searching for an answer for a while. And his response is this in verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have, more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Daniel didn't prop himself up. Man, he just pointed folks to the source of where his answer came from. It's Jesus. He pointed folks to Jesus. Here it is. Daniel didn't come and say, hey, look, I'm the hero here. Or I'm the savior of this situation. He pointed King Nebuchadnezzar to the one who actually was. And in the same way, church, man, whenever it comes to us stepping out in faith in our life, whatever that looks like, it's us understanding that, man, we're not the saviors. Listen, we're not the saviors of, man, our friends that are far from God. Jesus is. And so it's us pointing folks to Him. Listen, you love your kids, much as you love your spouse, you're not the savior of your kids or your spouse. Jesus is. Jesus can be. And so pointing folks to Him. Pointing your family to Him. Just like Daniel did. That's the response. That's the response. It's at the end of the day, pointing folks to Jesus. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 115:1. Says this, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. That's the kind of heart and attitude we ought to have. Just like Daniel had. And pointing folks to Jesus. Actually loving them well. Right, we have a saying here, I said it last week, man. Love folks well and lead them to the truth. Lead them to Jesus. That's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to be willing to do. And that's what we see Daniel do here. You can read the rest of Daniel chapter 2 on your own time. Verses 31 through 45 highlights the specifics, right, of the interpretation of the dream. Daniel just lays that all out for King Nebuchadnezzar and the folks that are there. And then verse 46, we see King Nebuchadnezzar in the midst of that obviously give glory to God for what's taking place. And then verse 46 on, Daniel's promoted. King Nebuchadnezzar again gives glory to the Lord for it. And we see God on the move. Speaking to His sovereignty here. Speaking to the fact that, man, His hand is moving. This is a pagan land. This is a pagan country. And we see the God of the universe being praised and uplifted. And we see God's hand on the move. And here's the reality today, church. Hey, He's still on the move. The truth of the matter is, again, He is still the great revealer of mysteries. And so the mysteries that are in your life, you're sitting there thinking, man, I don't know what to do about this certain situation. I don't know how to address that person or have that conversation with that person. I don't know the next step for me and my family. You come to that set point in your life. May we choose to be like Daniel here, but also like King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, where he says, hey, listen, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're going to choose to seek you. We're going to choose to praise you whenever you give us an answer. And we're going to choose to walk out in the word that you've given us. May we choose to be those people. May we choose to be those people. God's still in the business of revealing mysteries. I'm glad. God hadn't changed any. And so may we choose to look to him to reveal the mysteries and the secrets in our life, answers to the questions that we may have in our life. Won't we pray together? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask for the band to come back up. And as they're coming back up, those of you who may be new with us, the reason why we have this time of response, we call it our response time, is because whenever we encounter the Word of God, there's always a call to respond. Doesn't matter if it's preached, doesn't matter if we engage with it in our quiet time, there's always a call to respond. And so this morning, maybe a few different ways that you're able to respond. Maybe you're here today and truth of the matter is you do have a lot of questions. You don't know what the future holds for you and your family. You're trying to figure out next steps. Need wisdom and guidance and direction on what's next. And you need answers. And maybe this morning it's you choosing to run to the Lord and ask for him to provide answers for you in your life. Maybe you're in here and the truth of the matter is maybe having a perception problem whenever it comes to how you view the Lord, right? You really see him as more of a genie in a bottle, that if he doesn't answer your wishes exactly how you want for him to, then you just don't talk to him for a while. And maybe this morning it's you choosing to run back to him and see him for his greatness and the fact that he is near to you. That he still is able to answer. May not be our exact answer, but he's able to answer. And you choosing to rest in him because he knows what's best for you. Maybe you're in here and your response today is to choose to move forward with the word that God has given you. You've sought him out, praised him, but you've been sitting on that next step for a while. Maybe it's time to move. Maybe it's time to step out in faith, whatever that looks like. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And listen, as I pray, you do business with the Lord. He's speaking to you. You do business with him. Whenever I say amen, we're going to stand and sing together. Sing praise to the King of the universe, but also the King of our heart, if you know Jesus. Maybe you're in here and you don't know. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Talk about what it looks like to come to know him as Lord and Savior. No one this side of eternity is too far gone to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to say amen. We're going to stand and sing. Maybe you need some extra prayer. I'll be down front. Brother Ben, one of our deacons, is in the back. He'd love to pray with you. But listen, you respond as the Lord leads today. You respond. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this truth today, that you are the great revealer of mysteries. Just as you revealed the mystery of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel, Lord, you're able to reveal the mysteries involving our life, God, to us. We thank you that you are the great revealer.
mysteries, God. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that many are the plans in a man's heart, but you're the one who determines their steps, Lord. We thank you for that truth today. And God, I pray for us in here that are needing an answer from you about which step to take, which direction to go, how to speak to that person, how to raise that child. Lord, I pray that we would choose to be like Daniel and seek you first. God, and when you respond, Lord, I pray that we would choose to respond in worship and praise to you. And then choose to move out in faith and obedience. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are on the move. We ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Why don't we stand and worship?